Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Get Connected with Nina Del Rio, a weekly conversation about fitness, health, and happenings in our community on 106.7 Light FM.
Good morning and thanks for listening to Get Connected. The New York Times recently published an article on the successes of guaranteed income pilot programs across the country. The findings mirror New Yorkers for Children's experience in New York City. We're joined by Soraya Friedman Gonzalez, Executive Director of New Yorkers for Children, for a conversation on financial supports for young adults aging out of the foster care system. Soraya, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
The website is newyorkersforchildren.org. To start off, I wonder if you could give us an introduction as to what New Yorkers for Children does across its programs.
Sure. So New Yorkers for Children, we're over 25 years old. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. We were founded actually around the same time that the New York City Administration for Children's Services became a standalone agency within the city. And early on, the organization was created as a way to collect private money to support the child welfare system. And over time, our work has evolved. And the funding that we provide is to address unmet needs within child welfare. And because historically, older youth aging out of the foster care system has often been a very under-resourced group, that has been a consistent through line in our work. So half of our work is dedicated to direct scholarships to youth 18 to 26, which includes emergency cash grants and direct cash transfers. And then the other half of our work is dedicated to projects that demonstrate a promising practice, could be a really strong curriculum, could be hiring a consultant, but really to add to the knowledge of the child welfare system by investing, you know, often private money to test new practices here in New York City. So that's our work.
So young adults who age out of foster care, it is almost like the rug gets pulled out from under them in some cases. What happens when these young people turn 21?
First of all, in New York City, especially more recently, there is a lot more support available than perhaps in other jurisdictions. So there's been a understanding and a great investment in older youth in foster care, I would say, over the last 6 to 10 years, and increasingly so more now. But when young people turn 21 and age out of the foster care system, I think a combination of not having kind of accrued savings or a fallback as you're sort of beginning to stand on your feet has always been a challenge, in addition to housing, because it's New York City. And I think that combined with mental health issues are really what we're seeing as like the three kind of primary challenges for young people aging out of foster care.
One eye-opening detail about people aging out of foster care may have stacked against them is just the college graduation rates between people who've grown up in a traditional household and those who've experienced foster care.
Yeah. So the outcomes nationally are low. But what we do know is that if you connect a young person with an adult, and in our case, we attach all young people in college to a youth academic advisor, and you couple that with financial support and other services, we know that the prospects are very promising. And so we know what works. And so New Yorkers has been operating these types of programs, you know, since inception. And we have graduation rates of 75% and persistence rates of 90%. So we know what works.
So that cash assistance, these programs are sometimes referred to as universal basic income. How does your program work?
So we have always believed that if you give young people cash to support their basic needs and allow them the agency to decide how to spend it, particularly when they're attending college, but even if they're not, that they will tend to buy things that are really, really important, like security deposit for rent, you know, furniture for an apartment, you know, medical bills, all of those things. We know that having that cash support can make the difference between a young person being able to stay in school or drop out, or really stability. And so we've been, you know, sort of providing emergency cash support to young people since probably well over a decade. And then we know that through our NIC Scholars program, that when you offer young people a consistent monthly income that they can spend and they know is coming in, that they're more likely to graduate college, they're more likely to have a cushion and really to kind of advance. I mean, it's kind of what most kids have when they have familial support. Very few young people graduate college and are immediately able to be on their own. So why would we expect differently of youth in foster care?
Which seems like an idea that would be completely obvious.
Yes. Yeah. It's true. And I think there is a recognition, and I think even recently, there's a lot more of the guaranteed basic income and direct cash transfer creeping up around, you know, for serving various groups of young mothers, or it might be homeless youth. There isn't in New York City any program dedicated for youth aging out of foster care. And that's what's needed.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. New Yorkers for Children provides direct educational, financial, and emotional support and develops programs to fill gaps in the system, working with foster care agencies, community organizations, and the New York City Administration for Children's Services. Our guest is Executive Director of New Yorkers for Children, Soraya Friedman Gonzalez. You're listening to Get Connected on 106.7 Light FM. I'm Nina Del Rio. How many people are in the cash assistance program, Soraya, and how much do they receive?
So currently, you know, we have two types of active programs that we're operating. One is what we call an emergency kind of cash grant program, which we've been operating. And those are more one-off emergencies where we're providing support. And over the last, I would say, 3 years of the pandemic, we have probably served a total of 2,000 unique young people. Many come back more than one time for support. And that's one sort of program that we offer. And it's not every month they get money, but it is a program where we're covering kind of emergency crisis with, if not that support, something could happen. Separate and apart, we operate a program that is directed towards older youth in foster care that are in college. And for up to 5 years, they receive a set amount of money while they're attending school. And that universe is smaller. It's just about under 30 young people that are part of that program. And it really has to do with availability of resources, which if we had more money, we'd serve more young people.
So that's another question. How are you funded? Where does the funding come from for these programs?
So it's from individual donors who recognize the need, everyday New Yorkers primarily. We get a lot of support from foundation institutional support. We only just recently received funding from local government. So we began asking for some support locally. And so we recently got a grant from the New York City Council, which is very helpful. And so that's our funding, but it's primarily institutional support and individual donors.
You just mentioned you're serving about 30 people who are in university. If you had the funding, what is the demand for that?
I mean, I think the universe of young people who age out of foster care in a given year and attend college, it's probably about 250 a year that we could serve. And the universe is about 3,000 if you look at 18 to 26 year olds.
From what you know about other programs in other states, and the New York Times article I referenced in the beginning mentions California in particular.
Yep.
Are there other groups in New York where you think, what are the other groups in New York where you think cash assistance would be an effective tool? And why is there no other program like this in New York that you know of?
Well, there are a couple of other pilots that are direct cash transfer pilots. One is dedicated to a small number of youth who are homeless. And so they're currently testing something, the city and a couple of other private organizations. And then there's another program that's dedicated to young moms. I think there is a conversation happening now about New York. I think there's a pilot that will likely begin and some more work. But I think there has to be, I think for the government to invest in something like this, you need to show outcomes. And so that's often what New Yorkers does. So we are hoping to be able to test out with other partners. And there's something on the horizon that we could talk about later on, not in this interview, but at some other point. But I think having a pilot that demonstrates outcomes would be a very first step. And so it's about getting the funding and the support to kind of launch a successful pilot.
You do have 10 years of data for this program, at least 10 years of that. And you've sort of touched on a little bit, but having that financial wiggle room, not sort of always being on like the edge of collapse, in a sense, financial collapse, what do people spend those funds on? Do you know?
We do analyze, and it's self-reported. So we don't give our cash with conditions. We say you're an adult, you know how, you know what your needs are. About 44% of the universe of our recipients are also young parents, and that fluctuates. You know, youth aging out of foster care tend to have, there's a high number of youth that wind up becoming parents at a younger age. And so we know that a lot of the funding goes to support things like diapers and formula and just caring for their children. We also know that medical bills kind of come up, and particularly during COVID, that was a big funeral cost. And a lot of times it goes to pay things like rent or a security deposit. And then the other category is really just food and basic kind of essentials.
And what is the significance for the recipients, you think, of unconditional assistance for someone to have complete independence on how the money's spent?
I think it signals that you have trust that an adult knows, you know, to spend the money the way they see fit. I mean, it's usually how it works. And I think 9 times out of 10, we know that the young people are spending the money on very basic needs that other kids and families may have, and they just don't have things like food, utilities, rent, like that kind of stuff, or food for their kids. And that's time and again what we see.
And to put it in the most basic terms, what is the long-term return on this investment?
Well, I think if you look nationally at the statistics, the number of youth that come out of the foster care system that are also connected to homelessness, entering the criminal justice system, I think there's an opportunity when young people or anyone has a cushion, acquired savings, if you will, they're more likely to move from poverty to just moderate income and even to move on. I mean, I think one of the goals really ought to be if a young person experiences their childhood in a public system, there's a responsibility, I think, to be able to have them, you know, these young people have been taken from their homes. There is a responsibility to make sure they don't just subsist, but that they thrive. You know, you really want to see young people moving from poverty. We don't want to create intergenerational poverty. We want to give people there's a whole body of research about the importance of even just intergenerational wealth and how that truly is what moves people from one economic level to another. And so it really would be a game changer because I think, you know, to kind of have a young person at 21 years old or 18, just standing on a cliff with no cushion, you're always sort of worrying, you're playing catch up all the time. It provides a cushion over a period of a year or a 2 year period to sort of have a job once you graduate and begin to save, you know, accrue some savings or have a little bit of a nest egg. You know, investing in this age group is so important because they're the future 20 to 30 year old, 40 year old. I think if you can invest in young people now when they're in their 18 to 26, I think the outcomes overall, the return on investment would be very, very positive. And this feels like a very worthwhile cause for the city or the state to take on.
It's a fascinating idea, that thing you said about all these other kids do it and we're expecting these children to do it with nothing.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line is it's,
right?
You know, it's less about universal basic income as a policy so much as it is this particular group deserves it more than any, you know, and I think when you just think about the fact that we've taken young people from their home and placed them into foster care, there is a public responsibility to make sure that if they age out at 18 or 21 years old, that there is an ability to launch.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what we're asking. And it's not a lot. When you think about the numbers of youth that actually age out of foster care, we're talking about 500 young people a year age out. That's the universe of youth that age out of foster care.
So the cost is really not that much in the beginning.
It's not. I mean, you can either invest in, you know, the number of youth that kind of graduate high school and attend college is about 250, but the universe of youth that age out of the foster care system is 500. So you're looking at, if you were, this is, it's a multi-million dollar investment, but if you compare that to, you know, the amount of money we spend on criminal justice, on homeless, I mean, look at, there's so much going on right now in New York City, and we're safety, I mean, it makes sense to invest upfront so that 5-6 years later, you don't see young people re-entering other public systems. It just doesn't make sense.
Our guest is Soraya Friedman Gonzalez of New Yorkers for Children. Thank you for joining me on Get Connected.
Thank you.
This has been Get Connected with Nina Del Rio on 106.7 Light FM. The views and opinions of our guest do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. If you missed any part of our show or want to share it, visit our website for downloads and podcasts at 1067lightfm.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.